The makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, the superb blend you know is fresh, present the Chase and Sanborn Hour. And your host, Don Ameche.
This is Don Ameche giving you the lineup and the batteries for another Chase and Sanborn Hour. In the dugout and raring to go are Nelson Eddy, Dorothy L'Amour, Robert Armbruster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra, and, of course, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. Let me also welcome to our active players list our distinguished guests, Charles Lawton and Vera Vague. We hope that everybody will be pleased with our efforts tonight and that you will help us to cheer the home team, Chase and Sanborn. Nelson Eddy steps up to the plate and scores the first run with Vincent Heumann's hit song, Great Day.
When skies were dark came Noah's Ark, oh man. When lions roared came Daniel's Lord, amen. Lord, help those who pray, and on Judgment Day. Down and out, lift up your head and shout, there's gonna be a great day. Angels in the sky promise that by and by there's gonna be a great day. Gabriel will warn you some early morn, you will hear his horn. Roll to do Hilton, it's not far away. Hold up your hand and say, there's gonna be a great day. Be a great day. There's gonna be a great day. Gabriel will warn you some early morn. You will hear his horn. Oh, it'll token, it's not far away. Hold up your hands and say, there's gonna be a great day.
Countless songwriters have found their inspiration in the emotional ties of home. Others have written stirring tribute to the call of the West. Herman Lohr beautifully combined these strong sentiments in his well-known and beloved song, My Little Gray Home in the West. Nelson Eddy sings it.
Sun sinks in the hills, and the toil of a long day is o'er. Though the road may be long, in the lilt of a song, I forget I was weary before. Far ahead, where the blue shadows fall, I shall come to contentment and rest. And the toils of the day will be all charmed away in my I'm burning to kiss. There are two eyes that shine just because they are mine. And a thousand things other men miss. It's a corner of heaven itself, though it's only a tumble-down mess. But with love brooding there, why no place can compare with my little gray home in the West.
Hello, Charlie. Say, where are you bound for in that outfit? A fire?
Doesn't he look cute? Where'd you get that uniform, Charlie?
Well, if you're speaking to me, please address me as Chief.
Oh, Chief McCarthy, huh?
Well, that does look like a real fire chief's hat you've got on.
Yeah, where'd you dig it up?
Yeah, I'll dig it up. How do you like that language, dig it up? You don't dig these up. I want you to know I was given. I was bestowed it, sort of. Wasn't I, Bergen?
Yes, that's right. Yes, you know, Don, Charlie was invited to attend the meeting of the International Association of Fire Chiefs held in California. And they made him a chief.
Wow. Well, what do you think of that, Don? Charlie is a fire chief.
Yeah, I thought he was a fire hazard.
Yeah. Why, I'll turn a hose on you.
I'm sorry, Chief.
Say, Mr. Nietzsche, get a gander at this gold badge I got on. Ain't it swell?
Yeah, it is, Charlie.
Is it real gold?
Yeah. Well, it ain't tin. Or is it?
Charlie.
Yeah?
Since they honored you by making you a fire chief, I think it's only fitting that you say something about fires.
That's a good subject.
Yes.
Well, all right, I will, now that you insist on it, Bergen.
Yes.
My fellow citizens, as fire chief, let me say this. pardon me. It's a little husky. I don't think there is anything more exciting than a good fire.
No.
What's the matter?
That's not the thought.
What's wrong with it?
Well, this is Fire Prevention Week.
Oh, so it is, yes. What did I say then? Let's see. Fire prevention. Yeah, fire prevention. Yeah.
Now, do you know why this week has been chosen to warn the nation against fires?
If I know why.
Yes.
Well, if I say I do, I know it'll break your heart. So go ahead and talk. Tell us about it.
All right.
He's so cagey.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow happens to be the anniversary of one of the most disastrous fires in the American history.
Uh-huh.
It was the Chicago fire.
Chicago?
Yes.
Gee, we used to live there.
Yes, that's right. Yes, and I was born there.
That's all.
Yes. And that's where the great fire took place.
Well, I don't remember it, though.
Well, it happened in 1871.
Oh. Oh, that was before my time.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. But I'm glad you came out of it alive, though.
Do you know how the Chicago fire started?
Oh, yes, it was, something like a Mrs. O'Leary gave a cow a hot foot or something.
Well, in substance, that's right.
Yes, all right.
And that terrible disaster was the result of carelessness.
Uh-huh.
Which should be an object lesson to every one of us.
How true.
Do you know that every year, 4,000 homes and 100 schools are destroyed by fire?
Yeah?
Now, that is a horrible situation.
It certainly is, yes. Entirely too many homes.
And you realize that in last year, the fires have increased 40% in the United States. Think of that, young man. Fires have increased 40% in the United States. Now, that is a shameful record.
Well, you don't have to blame me for all of it.
All right.
I only operate in Southern California.
Yes. But most of these fires were due to carelessness.
Huh?
Such as oily rags left in corners of closets.
Oh, yes. Oily rags.
Yes.
Oh, yes. They're what you call, conflammatory, aren't they?
Yeah, no.
I mean, they're combustible. They're incontaxable. No. Non-conflammatory. What is it?
Spontaneous combustion.
What?
Spontaneous combustion.
Yeah? Well, burn my britches. Hey, Bergen, you seem to know an awful lot about fires. For knowing nothing about them?
Yeah, well, back in Decatur, I was a member of a volunteer fire department.
Not really.
Yes, I was. I was once a smoke eater.
How did you like your smoke? Well done.
Well, I'll never forget one time the mill burned down.
Tell us about it, Chiefy.
Well, I will. I was awakened in the middle of the night by the blowing of the fire siren.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it was a terrifying sound.
Huh?
Oh, it used to go something like this. I can still hear that. Ooh.
What's the matter, Bernie? What's wrong? You're no siren.
All right. Well, that's the way it sounded anyway. So I would jump out of bed, jumped into my clothes.
Did you stop to comb your hair?
Yeah. No, we didn't stop for anything like that. Didn't have any time for it.
Didn't have any hair for it. All right.
So I'd rush to the fire station. Off we went.
Did you drive the truck, Bergen?
No, Charlie. In those days, well, it was before the time of the automobile fire trucks.
Oh, all right then. Did you drive the dinosaurs?
Oh, now, wait.
That's going back too far.
Yeah. No, we used horses.
Uh-huh.
And when we got to the mill, oh, smoke was pouring from every window. All right. So I rushed into the burning building.
Uh-huh. Did you rush out again?
No. And before I knew it, I was surrounded by flames. And there I was, trapped on the third floor.
Of a two-story building?
No. It was a three-story building.
Another story, huh?
Yes.
How did you get out? Did you jump?
No. No, I slid down the drain pipe.
Well, you gotta be pretty skinny to slide down inside of a drain pipe.
No, I didn't slide down inside.
Oh.
It's all right for you to sit there, young man, and make smart remarks.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. That's true, yeah.
But what have you done?
What have I done?
Yes.
I've only started, and already I'm a chief.
Yeah.
Say, Bergen, do you mind if I take my fire chief hat off?
No, I guess it'll be all right.
Yes. This sheet iron roof is awful heavy. Ah, thank you. That's a relief. You know, Bergen, I may take this firefighting up seriously.
Yes? What do you want to do, Charlie? Drive the hook and ladder truck?
No, I think I'll be boss of the hose company.
Oh, I see. Boss.
Yeah, you know, be the main squirt.
I see.
Ouch! Oh, I'll get you for that, McCarthy.
What did I do now?
Charlie.
What?
Never put your fire helmet on a chair.
Oh.
Now apologize to Dorothy.
She ought to apologize to me.
What for?
She bent my eagle.
Oh, she did.
With a spring in her step and a smile on her face and a song in her heart, our own Dorothy Lavore, rightfully rhythmic, arrives to sing us her wide-awake version of Gotta Get Some Shut-Eye. Daddy?
You go to a nightclub, I've been to the best. You go to a party, I'll get a good night's rest with just a bit of shut-out, give the world a go-by. Got an awful lot of dreaming to do. Gotta catch some shut-eye where the kisses flow by. Got an awful lot of dreams to come true. Gonna let that sandman sprinkle me with stars. Only hope that old lamplighter lets me hold my baby tighter. So I'm going bye-bye, catch myself some shut-eye. Got an awful lot of dreaming to do. Shut I give the world a go by. Got an awful lot of dreaming to do. Whoa, good old shut I, where the kiss. kisses flow by. Got an awful lot of dreams to come true. Gonna let that Sandman cover me with stars. Think I'll look up Rip Van Winkle, get advice on how to sprinkle 20 years of shut-eye. Give the world a go-by. Got an awful lot of dreaming to do about you. Only hope my dreams all come true.
When news of this kind comes to town, it's cause for some real cheering.
Wherever it's gone on sale, people are cheering. Chase and Sanborn dated coffee in the wonderful new silver package. And here in the East, we get the loudest cheers of all. Our new improved special delivery service is in full swing. Our trucks visit your grocer every few days and leave only a small amount of freshly roasted dated coffee on each quick trip. Now that date right on the front of the new package is your assurance of freshness. Your final guarantee against stale, spoiled, or rancid-tasting coffee. When you get that new dated silver package, you know you're getting a delicious blend of the world's choice coffees, freshly roasted. We see to it that no pound stays on any grocer's shelf more than 10 days, and so every pound gives you richer, finer flavor. And people are wild about the new silver package. Winner of a national award is the finest package of its kind, and it's a thrifty package, too. We make a substantial saving by using it instead of costly containers, and we pass that saving on to you. To make sure housewives would like the improved package, we put it on sale in Buffalo, New York, then in a few other cities, and the response was a burst of enthusiasm. People liked it and proved they liked it by their actual purchases. Try it yourself tomorrow. Enjoy finer coffee and a cash saving, too. Ask your grocer for Chase and Sanborn dated coffee in the new silver package tomorrow.
It's not often that a man is gifted with a truly great histrionic ability of Charles Laughton. His is an amazing talent, an artistry that enables him to range from delightful rib-tickling comedy to stark and poignant drama without effort. Mr. Laughton has just completed his work in Jamaica Inn, the Eric Palmer production released by Paramount Pictures, which starts its American showing in New York this week. And it is our privilege to anticipate that opening by presenting a radio adaptation from the picture tonight. We present Charles Laughton. It is the year of our Lord, 1820. Just off the bleak moorland road which runs along the coast of Cornwall stands Jamaica Inn, a strange foreboding place, and strange tales are told of the men who make it their headquarters, tales of smuggling and worse. But this is county gossip, surely no concern of the eminent squire Humphrey Pengallen, who even now rests in almost regal comfort in his baronial country home, some mile or more from the unsavory inn.
Will that be all, Sir Humphrey?
Yes, that's all, Chadwick.
Good night, sir.
Good night, Chadwick. There's no need to hang about, Chadwick. Get along to bed, will you?
Thank you, sir.
All right. How dare you come here to me? Why aren't you at Jamaica Inn? Haven't I told you a story?
Aye, but Traherne's gotten out. He's escaped from the inn.
Well, what have you done?
The men be looking out for him now. We be doing our best.
Is that all you came here to say?
Traherne knows a lot too much. He was with us at the wreck last night. It was he who came to inform on the others.
That's your concern, not mine.
You be in this as much as I be, Sir Humphrey.
You're losing your head, Merlin.
Still, sir, you wouldn't like for to see me in the hands of the law.
No, don't count on that, Merlin. You just find Traherne. You ought to be able to take care of him.
Aye, sir. But there's one other thing, sir. Do you know what time I should have the boys out for the wreck tonight?
No, Merlin. I'd have to go up to Jamaica Inn and tell you later. Now get out of here. Get out, will you?
But I tell you, it's impossible.
Get out.
I have got to see for Humphrey.
Humphrey has retired.
Well, then get him out.
Now look here, you can't.
I have got to see for Humphrey, and I'm going to...
What's this? What's going on here?
Sir Humphrey Pengallon.
What's the meaning of this?
I couldn't stop him, Sir Humphrey.
Humphrey, I have got to talk to you. I need your help.
Some other time, perhaps. Now, will you go, or must I have my man throw you out?
I have just come from Jamaica Inn.
From, Jamaica Inn.
I'll take care of the fellow, Sir Humphrey. Come along, you.
Not so fast, Chedric.
Sir.
Get this fellow some bread and water, will you?
What, sir?
What are you waiting for?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Sir Humphrey.
All right. Now, what have you got to say to me? You're a smuggler, aren't you? Aren't you one of the gang of fellows from Jamaica Inn?
I have been, yes. But perhaps this will explain.
I'm not interested in any of your explanations.
I think you'll be interested in this.
All right, give it to me. To all whom it may concern, James Treherne.
At your service, sir.
For a law officer. Puts a different complexion on matters a little, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And since you, Sir Humphrey, are justice of the peace of this county, I've come to you for help.
I've placed some bread and water for this person in the harness room.
Have you now? I'll place some cold chicken and claret for this person in the study, will you?
Sir.
And see if you can find some clothes for Mr. Treherne.
For this gentleman, sir?
Yes, and hurry, will you? Hurry. I dare say I must apologize. Of course, I hadn't the least idea who you were.
It's quite all right, sir. Naturally, I've been some pains to conceal my identity.
And no doubt with good reason, though. I still haven't the least notion what it's all about. Smuggling, I suppose.
No, sir.
No, not smuggling?
No. Much worse than that, Sir Humphrey. Wrecking. Deliberate, organized wrecking.
Great Scott, man. Not here, though.
Yes, sir, along this coast.
We've always had wrecks here, you know. It's a very dangerous coast.
Yes, sir, it is. But Lloyd's noticed that these wrecks had one curious feature in common.
What do you mean?
There were never any survivors.
Mr. Treherne, what you say is true. It's the most terrible thing I ever heard. It's terrible. You hear of wrecks down here, of course. I always did. I can't believe it.
I was assigned to the investigation, and my researchers took me to Jamaica Inn. The landlord, Merlin, is the ringleader. That wreck last night, for instance, was carried out by his men.
You were actually there?
I was.
Have you reported all this to your superiors?
No, sir, not yet. You see, Sir Humphrey, I'm after bigger fry than Merlin.
I don't follow you. You said he was the ringleader.
At Jamaica Inn, yes. But he gets his orders from outside. His information comes from outside. His thinking is done for him outside.
By whom?
I don't know yet, though I have my suspicions. Merlin's own wife doesn't know. But that's the man we have to find. Now, Merlin has called them for tonight. They're wrecking another ship, but they won't know when until they've received information from their ringleader. In order to give them that information, he will be going to the inn tonight.
Then we must get there first.
Oh, but we can't do it single-handed. Tell me, is there a garrison at Truro?
Truro. Yes, we have some militia at Truro. Yeah.
Who is the garrison commander?
Captain Boyle. Irishman, I believe. Good fellow in a pinch.
Well, then, if I may borrow one of your horses, I'll ride to him for help.
But that'll take time. We mustn't let this ringleader slip through our fingers, must we? I fancy we two can intercept the man, whoever he is, by ourselves. What?
Well,
what do you say, We needn't have a tussle with Joss's gang at all. We can catch his fellow outside there, I think.
All right. I'm game if you are, sir.
Excellent. I see this is positively exciting. I better go and see about the horses.
Fine, sir. Now, if there's some paper... here we are.
Treherne, your supper is ready, sir.
Never mind that now, Chadwick. Here's a note I want you to deliver to Captain Boyle at militia headquarters in Truro. And gallop all the way, Sir Humphrey's orders.
Very good, sir.
Treherne, now, who they are. Come on, men, horses ready. You haven't all night.
All right. Here we are. Now, you know what to do.
I look after the back door. You stand guard here in front of the inn.
You don't think I should take the back? That's where our man usually shows up.
Don't worry about me, old man. I can still use my pistol, you know.
All right. On your way, then.
I'm off.
Good luck, sir.
Thank you.
Sir Humphrey.
Shut up, you fool. I'm here as a magistrate to arrest you.
Why, what do you mean?
Treherne's in front.
Treherne?
Treherne happens to be a law officer.
I don't see why you let him come here with you.
Why, you fool. If a fellow will insist on bringing a magistrate, I'm the only magistrate who can be safely brought here. Because, of course, I have a very valuable knowledge of local conditions.
Well, what'll I do?
Take this pistol and capture me.
Hmm? Capture you, Sir
Yes,
Humphrey?
You fool. Then send your men out and come up on Treherne from the road. Come here. Come here. About this wreck tonight. It'll be at...
All right. All right. Bring Mr. Treherne in here with Sir Humphrey.
You're not going to get away with this, Merlin.
Now that you've captured us so cleverly, Joss Merlin, just exactly what do you intend to do?
Well, first I... Patience! Patience!
Yes, Joss?
Patience, these are our guests. Here, take this pistol. And if our guests get too unhappy, use it.
Oh, but Joss...
Do as I say!
Joss, where are you going?
Got a bit of work down at the shore. Wrecking business. You will understand, Treherne. Come on, Harry, round up the boys. We haven't got too much time. Take good care of our guests, Patience.
Well, Treherne, it would seem our ringleader fellow has escaped us, We've got ourselves in a pretty mess, haven't we,
Yes, Merlin evidently has the facts on the wreck now.
I say, I wonder when he could have talked to his ringleader, chap.
I wonder.
It's all very annoying. I told Chadwick I'd be back for dinner. Mrs. Merlin, I wonder if that pistol's loaded.
That's no good, sir.
Very well, Mrs. Merlin. Will you see if it's properly primed? Say, I'm afraid you're not fully conversant with the real facts of the situation. I know your husband better than you do. I think you'd no more have loaded that pistol than you'd have left me helpless, which would have been quite absurd.
Sir Humphrey, I don't know what you're talking about. Please be quiet, sir.
Now, you should listen to Sir Humphrey, Mrs. Merlin, if only out of respect for your husband's job. You see, ma'am, Merlin has been in Sir Humphrey's employ for some little time now.
What's this, Treherne?
You knew, did you not, Mrs. Merlin, that your husband received instructions from someone before each wreck? Now think, who in the county could have had all that information but the Honorable Sir Humphrey?
You're being extraordinarily bright, Mr. Treherne. You suspected me all along, what?
I did.
And yet you let yourself be led into this trap. That wasn't very clever, Mr. Treherne. In fact, it's not very believable. Mrs. Merlin, I've always admired your devotion to your husband. The woman shall cleave to the man. Admirable, huh? Now, if this officer should escape, your husband will pay for it with his life. So I needn't stress the importance of the task I'm giving you. Watch him closely. For that purpose, this pistol loaded may be most effective. If there's the slightest possibility of his getting free, don't hesitate to shoot him. Just a firm pressure on that trigger, Mrs. Merlin, and all will be well.
All very ingeniously arranged, Sir Humphrey. But there's just one little thing you've overlooked. I sent Chadwick with a note to Captain Boyle at Truro. The militia should be here now. You, Sir Humphrey, will be on your way to the gallows inside of an hour.
Most ingeniously arranged, Mr. Treherne. There's just one thing you overlooked.
I?
There is no Captain Boyle. And in consequence, there will be no militia. Good night.
This is Don Amici, and the Chase and Sanborn Hour continues. Nelson Eddy sings a very charming Spanish song, Mi Pobre Reja. Wouldst explain, Nelson?
Wouldst, Don. Now, this is all about a romantic young fellow who saw a beautiful girl standing behind a white gate. Of course, he fell in love with her.
Of course.
But one day, unfortunately, when he returned to speak to the lady of his affection, the girl behind the white gate was gone.
Was the white gate still there?
Yes, it was, Don.
Well, then we could say that he lost the girl and he got the gate.
Yes, we could, Don. Do you think we should?
Frankly, no.
Well, then what shall we say?
Well, let us say, me pobre reja. Okay, Nelson?
Okay, Don.
Mm-hmm.
aquella reja blanca donde un niño viví la dulce vida de unos amores. Está cerrada y sola, triste y vacía. Ya no tiene perfumes, ni tiene flores. Ay, reja mía, reja de mis quereres y mi alegría. Puro amores, pero sus juramentos fueron traidores. Yo son aquellas cruces del hierro frío, las cruces de la tumba del amor mío. Hay crucecitas que yo besaba, hay florecitas que yo regaba. Aquella que me engañaba cuando juraba que me quería. Ya no hay sol en el cielo, ni hay noche clara. Rayos de luna besan mi cara, que aquella reja blanca donde un día viví la dulce vida de unos amores está cerrada y sola, triste y vacía, y no tiene perfume.
In repeated and pessimistic reports, each and every one of which we deplore, that conversation as an art is dead. Well, if there's any truth in these rumors, we know the person who killed it. And here she is, that flat tire on the wheel of progress, the intellectual and often interminable Miss Vera Vague. Oh, that's all right. Well, Miss Vig, you're looking very well.
Oh, well, do you really think so?
Well, of course, everything is relative.
Oh, bless your heart.
Tell me, what put you in such high spirits?
Well, I saw part of a football game this afternoon, and I'm just thrilled to death. Oh, my, these football players are so handsome and rugged.
Yeah, it's a great game, football. I used to play a little myself.
Yes, I know. I could tell you were a football player, Mr. Amici, by your mustache.
By my mustache?
Yes. I could see the first down on your upper lip.
Never mind, it's all right, Miss Vague. Into each life, a little rain must fall.
Oh, how philosophical of you.
You planned a discussion of banking and finance, I believe.
Oh, yes, I did. I'm terribly interested in the subject. I do believe in these days of big business and international things, we should all be intellectually a tiptoe, so to speak. Don't you?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yes, well, of course, that's only your opinion. according to that great financier, Mr. Well, it doesn't matter. He's dead now anyway. But at any rate, according to him, the amount of money in circulation in this country in the fiscal year of 1938 was $5,627,224,418. That reminds me, Mr. Meacher, you owe me a nickel for that telephone call.
Never mind, I'll send you a check for it in the morning. But getting back to the lecture, I'm a little confused as to where you picked up your knowledge on banking and finance, Miss Vague.
Oh, well, frankly, I learned quite a bit about finance from my cousin Waldo. He made a good deal of money back home.
No.
Only trouble was it looked homemade. Poor fellow, they finally caught up with him. He got a little careless. He had a 1 cent sale on dollar bills. Oh, it was a shame. Judge fined him $500 in real money. He was working at a bank at the time.
Yeah, I imagine that put him a little behind in his accounts.
No, the bank was behind. Waldo was ahead. Oh, dear, I felt so sorry for him. He was so ambitious. He wanted to be one of the 400. Now he's number 387. So ironical.
It's all so moronical.
Well, you're just a little self-conscious.
Honestly, Miss Vague, it hurts me to say this, but sometimes you talk like an idiot.
Oh, yes, I know. I try to talk so you can understand me. Oh, dear, I'm just full of those snappy halfbacks. Come back.
Well, suppose you come back to your lecture. What about banking and finance?
Well, don't rush me. The bank isn't open yet. No, but seriously, Mr. Beecher, I went to New York 2 months ago, and I had a very interesting interview with a very well-known capitalist. I had a hard time finding his telephone number, but I looked him up in Who's Your Little Hoosies. In Who's Who? In fact, I met quite a few promising men. Prominent men. I interviewed 11 out of 8 of them, which I think is a pretty good average.
It's no better than we expect of you, Miss Vague.
Yes. Well, you know, they all seem to feel that the great trouble in the economic world today is caused by the law of supply and demand. They seem very grateful when I suggested we all get together and repeal it.
Yes, yes, Miss Vague. I think it's those little considerations that really touch big financiers most, don't you?
Oh, yes, yes, I do. I'm sure of it, because we all got so chummy before I left.
You and the financiers got chummy,
huh? Yes. In fact, they nicknamed me Uka.
Uka?
Yes, I thought it was awfully cute. I had a letter from one of the gentlemen just the other day, and it began, "Dear Pal Uka." I know how they meant it.
Miss Vague, I hate to keep reminding you, but you haven't told us anything of banking yet.
Yes, well, to tell you the truth, I'm a little disgusted with banks right now. They misrepresent themselves so. It gets very annoying at times.
Now, wait a minute. A bank can't afford to misrepresent itself.
That's all you know about it. The bank I deal with has a sign on it that says, "This bank has a reserve of $4 million. They had the nerve to send back one of my checks marked "No Funds."
You know, Miss Vague, I'm beginning to think you're just one step removed from an imbecile.
What's the matter, Mr. Meacher? Am I crowding you?
Well, Miss Vague, all I can say is this discussion has been truly enlightening.
Oh, well, you're too kind, Mr. Meacher.
Yeah, there's a lot in what you say.
Yes, you know, Mr. Meacher, it must be a relief to meet a really intelligent woman. There's so many stupid women who talk a lot, you know, and say nothing.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. The kind of woman who thinks May the 3rd is Queen of England.
Oh, dear. Is that ridiculous? What country is she queen of?
Thank you, Miss Vague. Peter DeRose and Mitchell Parrish have done it again. The writers of Deep Purple have found another popular shade of blue to sing about. The light tone blue of Lilacs in the Rain, which in our opinion is one of the loveliest songs of the year. Robert, if you give out with the music, I'll give out with the song.
I see lilacs in the rain, and you are with me again. When April sprinkles her dreams in my heart, When we parted in the lane, the skies were tearful with rain. The scent of the lilacs remained in my heart. Two other arms around you now. Other love has found you now. But when love forgets to smile, my darling, once in a while, remember April and lilacs in the darling, once in a while, remember April and lilacs in the rain.
Everybody's watching scoreboards these days, pulling for their favorites. So, in keeping with the times, here's news about a winner.
Well, first of all, we want to thank every one of our listeners who entered the Chase and Sanborn contest, which just closed. You've sent us hundreds of good reasons why you changed to Chase and Sanborn coffee. And now comes the big new reason for changing to Dated coffee. Here in the East, it's fresher than ever. A new special delivery service rushes the freshly roasted coffee from the roasting oven to your grocer. Our trucks visit your grocer every few days, leaving only small quantities each trip. No pound stays on the grocer's shelf more than 10 days. You're guaranteed freshness and richness of delicious flavor by the date on the front of every silver package. Now, that new silver package has won an amazing number of friends since it was perfected. Many of you named it as your reason for changing. Others said it was the thrifty price that won them over. Well, that's an important point about the new silver package, too. Although that handsome new container won a national award as the best of its kind, it's not one bit expensive. It costs much less than expensive containers. And that means a substantial saving for us, a saving we pass on to you. Thousands of excellent statements were received in the contest, and each and every one is being carefully considered. And the final winner will be announced 2 weeks from today. That's October the 22nd. Meanwhile, enjoy Chase and Sanborn Dated Coffee regularly. Buy a pound in the new silver package tomorrow.
Well, Charlie, honor seems to be piling upon honor for you today. You've been made a fire chief, and now you know who your distinguished visitor is.
Oh, yes, indeed, Mr. Lawton. But he's a tough hombre, I'm telling you. He's a tough hombre.
Why, what do you mean?
Well, you know that villain in Jamaica, don't you, Don?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he was pretty tough there, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was pretty tough.
He was pretty tough there. And then mutiny on the bounty, you know? Yeah. I wouldn't call the guy exactly cute, I wouldn't say.
Oh, Charlie, Mr. Lawton was only acting.
Yeah, well, I know. And now he's acting in Hunchback of Notre Dame. Boy, does he pick the nastiest things to play on.
You don't have to be afraid of me, Charlie.
So, I... Who said that?
I did.
Oh, you startled me. I didn't know you were there.
You say you saw Mutiny on the Bounty, Charles?
Yes, I did, Mr. Lawton, yes.
Did you like it?
I thought you were very bad.
Bad?
But I mean good, you know, good in a bad part. Oh, you do understand, yeah. That's what I mean, see. But I was afraid that some of the people might get the wrong impression of you. So, just to show your true character, I have written an original play.
An original play?
Yes.
Where did you steal it from?
Well, I stole... he knows me, doesn't he? I stole mine from Mutiny and the Bounty. Where did you steal Mutiny from?
From the book of the same name. What do you call your play, Charlie?
Well, I call mine Mutiny on the Albany Night Boat. It's adapted from a little thingy called Mutiny on a Dinghy. Ambrister Swingy.
Our scene is on the SS Coal Barge plowing its way to the Singapore dumps. On board are Captain Blau, played by Charles Lawton, Midshipman McCarthy, played by Charles McCarthy, and the Flying Watchman, played by Don Amici. We find them at sea. Curtain!
Anchors away! That music sounds a little seasick, buddy.
All bells and all issues are well. Oh.
Mr. McCarthy? Mr. McCarthy?
I ain't here.
Mr. McCarthy, where are you?
I went that way. You'll never know.
Mr. McCarthy, I'm not the most patient man in the world. Come here!
Yeah, I am.
Mr. McCarthy, I am forced to remind you that as the captain of this vessel, I will stand for no insubordination from my inferiors in rank.
I am not rank. I am captain. I'm a midshipman.
A seaman, a captain's a captain.
Yes.
And a midshipman, McCarthy or no McCarthy, is the lowest form of animal life on the sea. And stop sticking your tongue out at
me. Sorry, sir. I was
quiet! Nasty little snitch.
Oh, do I hate him?
Why isn't the helmsman at the wheel?
But I don't like to disturb him, sir. He's in the finals in the shuffleboard tournament.
He's supposed to be at the wheel. We must have discipline.
Yes.
Keel haul that man.
Keel haul? You did that yesterday, sir.
Oh, did I?
Yes, sir.
Well, spread eagle into the rigging.
I think that would be nice for a change. Yes.
Four bells and everything. She's a hunky-dory.
Dog watch. Amici Gazzoli.
I don't like the tone of his voice.
Shall I have him retone?
No, we'll hang him from the highest yardarm on the ship.
Aye, aye, sir. I could spit in his eyes, sir.
What was that, sir?
Oh, no, nothing. Just wishful thinking, sir. You know how one will think.
I want to know what you said.
Well, I didn't say anything, really. What I mean is, oh, Mr. Captain, you got me so mixed up, I don't know what I'm saying.
Stop whimpering, you reptile.
Oh, you'll regret this, Captain. Captain Blah, you'll regret it. We'll mutiny, as well.
You'll what?
Well, mutiny. Haven't had a good mute for a long time.
Will you be quiet, you ship's log? Call all hands on deck. I want to talk to the men.
Well, they don't want to talk to you.
I said call all hands on deck.
Well... say please.
Mr. McCarthy, call all hands on deck. Please, if you don't mind, I mean...
No, no.
All bells and all is... you know what?
Yes. What?
4 hours have passed, and the men are on deck cowering before Captain Blah.
Listen, you scum. I consider you the scourge of the sea, the worst sailors that ever sailed a ship.
And may I say, Captain, that this is the sloppiest sloop I ever slept on.
Silence, you rigging for a topsail. Not only have I tolerated insubordination, but you've been making faces at me behind my back and telling fibs. That I cannot stand for, so I lay down the following punishments. There will be no magic lantern slides for 5 days. There will be no shuffleboard on deck.
No shuffleboard.
And I am going to take away your bean bags for 2 weeks.
That does it. That does it. Mutiny, fellas. Mutiny.
That's
mutiny.
Right. We're mutiny. We're like the Charlie in the middle of shipping as the captain of the good ships of sloppy water.
Yes. You heard that, Blah? Now, from now on, you'll take orders from me.
I'll be hanged if I do.
You'll be hanged if you don't. Now, what have you got to say for yourself?
Well, I don't like it very much.
Well, I can understand your mind.
It is awful.
Four bells and all in. The watch is a crack at the top of the bed.
Years have passed while Captain McCarthy has been searching for land. He's not found any.
I loathe to be rude, Captain, but we've been at sea a long time.
Mm. How long?
In 4 months, it'll be exactly 2 years come next dollar day.
In 4 months, it'll be exactly 2 years. And I see. See, four goes into two, she carries three, it's crunch, 1, 20, 20. See, I get a couple of weeks left over there. That should bring us somewhere off the coast of Greenland.
Well, excuse me, sir, but we passed the Statue of Liberty 3 times yesterday.
We did? 3 times?
Yes.
Well, that proves that the world is round, all right? Say, maybe she's following us. No.
Yes.
Which could be.
What does the compass read, Skipper?
Compass? Oh, yes. The compass. Where is the compass now? Let's see. The compass. You haven't got the compass? No. See, we had it around. Oh, here it is, yes. Longitude 49, attitude indifferent. Let's see. We're sailing due west now, aren't we?
No, we're sailing northeast.
Northeast? Oh. Yeah. I got my chart before my course here.
Hey, McGarthy.
What's the matter with you, Gazzola?
I want a mutiny again.
Mutiny? What for?
We wanted the old captains back.
You want the old captain back?
See, they're like me. Yeah.
Well, I'll resign on one condition, Captain Blah. If you promise that you'll never do any more of that keelhaul and never, never tie to the mast stuff, you know.
Well, I promise. I was an awful bad boy, wasn't I?
Yes, you were. In fact, you were nasty at times, Cap. But you've learned your lesson, eh, Cappy?
Oh, Didi, I have.
Good.
Hit the bells and who cares? Well, all right.
Dig, 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 dig.
Homes of America, the words are known, the melody is hummed, the song is loved. Ethelbert Nevin's The Rosary. Nelson Eddy sings it.
The hours I spent with thee, dear heart, are as a string of pearls. I confess. heart in absence wrong. I tell each bead unto the end, and there a cross is found. All memories that bless and burn, all barren gain and bitter loss, I kiss each bead and strive at last to learn to kiss the cross. Sweet home.
For the bunch here at Chase and Sanborn, there are a couple of things people say to us that are really music to our ears. It sounds mighty pleasant to have people tell us that they like our pictures and enjoy our radio show. After all, our program and our pictures are part and parcel of us. And of course, we also enjoy having our friends speak well of Chase and Sanborn coffee. We all think it's as fine a coffee as you can buy, and we're glad you think so too. It's great to know that you and I and all of us find a mutual friend in Chase and Sanborn Coffee. Around to answer next week's roll call, as usual, will be Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, and Robert Armbruster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra. Our special guests will be Merle Oberon and Vera Veigh.
In New York and in San Francisco, our two great fairs swing into their fall seasons with record-breaking attendance. Special attractions at both great shows are making these banner months, so don't miss them. Chase and Sanborn has provided a cordial welcome for you on either coast. In the west at the Golden Gate Exposition, visit us at the colorful House of Hospitality. In the east at the New York World's Fair, see the magnificent Standard Brands building and enjoy our big free marionette show with puppets of Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Don Amici, and Dorothy L'Amour. You're the guest of Chase and Sanborn while you're there, and we promise you a good time. Come and see us soon. You're more than welcome. Next week, another big Chase and Sanborn hour. Merle Oberon, Vera Veigh, Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, and Robert Armbruster in the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra. Heard on this program, The Big Show by Jerome Kern. This is Jim Bannon speaking for the makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.